The hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. But most moms probably don't feel that important. Not on a daily basis, for sure. Most days I'm just trying to get by to the next morning. Most days I'll run together for regular moms, like me. Most days I forget I have any power at all. Power to change the world. I don't have the bandwidth to think about that.
We often think of the transformation in the lives of the people who Jesus healed. For every one of those, there were many associated caregivers whose lives were also radically changed.
We live about 2 miles north of Bethsaida. Bethsaida is on a hillside near the northeastern shore of the Sea of Galilee, about 6 miles away from Capernaum. Bethsaida is a fishing village, but my family and I have a small farm just east of town. We grow grains, a particular type of grain that we mix with a meal we've made from fish. This particular blend feeds both animals and the military troops. Okay. When I say my family, I'm exaggerating. My family consists of my son and me. That's it. And when I say regular mom, I'm also exaggerating. My son is what you might call a special blessing. Born with some physical flaws. You never know how picky the local religious leaders will be with that. And he's not as. He's always a bit behind the other boys. In every area. My husband and I didn't think he would survive birth, or even a few days after. He did. Thanks be to God. My husband immediately started scheming of ways to make money so we could hire the best doctors for our son. A caravan of Arab spice traders came through on the Via Maris trade route. It's nearby. He decided to join them. It was high risk, a dangerous trip, and he knew it. But the rewards could pay for my son's doctor bills. My husband didn't come back. I never learned why. He just never returned. It's been 10 years. My son has yet to see a doctor. Our lives are so hard. We have enough to eat, but that's about it. Nearby families don't want to be too friendly. Our King Solomon, may he be with God, said it so well. Nobody wants to be friends with poor people. As hard as life is on me, it's tragic for my son. Simon has the kindest, softest heart. Like his dad. He can't understand why the neighborhood boys make fun of him. He can't understand why they learn their scriptures more easily than he does. I'm terrified of the day when I have to tell him that he may not qualify to sit in many of the synagogue ceremonies because of his flaws. He loves God so much. Much more than the other boys. Pretty much every night I cry. We spend so much time at our little farm, and we spend so little time in town. You can see why. One day I see a neighbor rushing up the path to our house. Never has anyone come to our house to visit, so naturally I expect to hear tragic news. I see her face. She's smiling. Sarah? Sarah! You have to come. You have to come see the new rabbi in town. He's healing everyone of every sort of illness. I'm so flustered, I don't know what to do. Simon, I must go into town, I say to my son, who's mixing the fish meal. Just keep doing what you're doing until I get back. And if you finish, say the Psalms of Ascent until I return. And my neighbor and I bolt. We enter Bethsaida, and there's a huge line of people standing in front of one rabbi and a group of ragged men. 12 of them, and I know 3. At the front of the line, Peter, Andrew, and Philip. Local men from Bethsaida who are only slightly older than me. I see their fishing partners, James and John, as well. How could these guys possibly be associated with this amazing rabbi? The rabbi touches each person as they get to the front of the line and prays over them. They are instantly healed. Blindness, paralysis, even leprosy. I've known many of these people for years. I'm positive this rabbi is truly healing people. The next morning at daybreak, I wake up my son. We head into town. We've beaten the crowds. But we haven't. Already a long line in front of the house where the rabbi's staying. After an hour or two, he comes down from the mountain. He's been praying, and he starts healing people. But he can't heal them fast enough. It's now dark. He's healed many people, but I'm still far back in line. We have no choice but to go back home. I'm a wreck, but Simon never quits smiling, never stops praising God. We get a few hours of sleep. We grab what we can for lunch later and stumble in the dark into town to wait in line again. Miraculously, no line. Praise be to God. At daybreak, I find out why. The rabbi's left town. Nobody knows where he's gone. You cannot count my tears. Did God dangle miraculous healing in front of us and then jerk it away forever? I refuse to believe it. From now on, every morning at 5 o'clock, my son and I will take our bread and fish and walk into town. Surely one day the rabbi will return and we will be first in line. Weeks go by. I'm disappointed every day. My son, bless him, laughs and smiles as we take the same adventure every day. He knows only 20 psalms, so we recite them together over and over. We arrive in Bethsaida one day to find everybody leaving the town, streaming out as fast as they can walk. We hear that outside of town, the rabbi is back and he's teaching and healing people. I gather up my robe and prod Simon to walk faster. We must beat the crowds. After an eternity of walking, we arrive. I see waves of humanity. There must be 5,000 men, not even counting their families. We're at the back of the line, again. I want to shout, I'm a single parent, a widow, and I have a special needs son, let me through. But all anyone sees is an everyday garden variety, regular mom. It's all I ever wanted. And now it's the very thing that a hush falls over the people. We sit down. I look for a way through the crowd. There isn't one. We're more than 200 yards from him. Hope vanishes. Resentment fills the every crevice of my shattered heart. We're so far away we can't even hear the rabbi. When he speaks, people repeat what he says and it passes down. Soon we hear Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. It's easy for the rabbi to say, but not so easy for someone like me. For the next hour, I hear more and more words, and my heart grows more and more resentful. Why won't he just stop talking and come heal my son? I beg God for his attention. It doesn't come. And the daylight slips away. At last, he stops talking. But I know it's too late for him to heal any people. We'll just walk home. What else can we do? The rabbi and his followers are in conversation. The crowd gets restless. His 12 followers walk into the crowd. I see heads shake as they exchange words. They walk more and more heads shake. Finally, Andrew's close enough, I hear him. Jesus asked us to bring him all the food in the crowd. Do you have any? Around us, all heads shake, no. Andrew? Andrew, I have food. My son, Simon, big smile on his face, waving. He holds up the meager provisions we brought for lunch. Bread and fish. It's not very much, the loaves are small. I'm sorry. Well, there's 5 of them and 2 fish. Let me give them to you, says Simon with so much joy. That's a nice gesture from a precious, special child. I expect Andrew to shake his head, but he doesn't. He motions us to come with him. What could the rabbi want with our pathetic lunch? We walk through the crowd, bewildered. We approach him, the rabbi smiles. I'm about to beg him to heal my son, but he bows his head in prayer. He talks to God as if he's talking to his real father. For the millionth time, I wish my son had a relationship like that with his father. I open my eyes. I see that Jesus is busy distributing food to his followers to share with the crowd. Food that just seems to appear from nowhere. I know it sounds crazy. They each take a basket. So 12 full baskets and start giving it away to the crowd. Jesus talks to my son. Quietly, I can't hear their words. They both smile at each other. I'm mesmerized. They talk like father and beloved son. The crowd eats. He showers attention on my son. I keep waiting for my son to be healed. Nothing. Then, I love you. Did I just hear that? Did they just say that to one another? My heart shatters. Jesus turns to me. He looks at me. My lifetime of dreams has come true. My moment to ask. When my mouth opens, these words come out. I want to love you as much as my son does. Jesus smiles. So big. Whatever you've done to the least of these, you've done to me. He didn't say that right then. I learned of his words later, but that's what his smile said. I know it. I finally understand. In all my struggle and effort and exhaustion to be a regular mom, when I'm clearly not a regular mom, I lost sight of this. God has given Simon and me each other. He's given us love. Love, the least of these. Love. I'm pretty sure that's the way to rule the world.